640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There is new devastation in Gaza. The health ministry says 436 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in the past 24 hours, 182 of them children. Correspondent MTS Tayab reports from East Jerusalem.
Israel's strikes continue to rain misery across Gaza. And while desperately needed aid started to trickle in over the weekend, the United Nations estimates the Palestinian territory needs at least 100 trucks a day to meet the most basic needs. In the north, the Israeli military has again told residents to evacuate ahead of its looming ground invasion.
A third convoy of aid trucks moved into Gaza today, and the FBI says it's seen an increase in threats in Jewish and Muslim communities since the Israel-Hamas war began. Kieran Ramsey is with Oregon's special agent in charge.
We want to make sure if people are out there threatening people with violence, that we take action to make sure that violence doesn't happen and that we can restore some sense of safety and security to folks in the community.
In Washington, still no House Speaker. Here's CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
Seven of the candidates now running for the speakership voted to decertify the 2020 election results following the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Representative Patrick McHenry, who is serving as interim speaker, is not seeking the permanent role.
The space and time for a reset is, I think, an important thing for House Republicans.
And exactly 20 days into the turmoil, the pressure is mounting as President Biden has asked Congress to consider a $100 billion aid package for Israel and Ukraine.
This is day five of a manhunt for a suspect in the deadly shooting of a judge in Maryland.
49-year-old Pedro Argote is suspected of killing Circuit Court Judge Andrew Wilkinson in his driveway just hours after Wilkinson ruled against him in a divorce case. Washington County Maryland Sheriff Brian Elbert.
We're going to catch this guy. It's just a matter of time.
This concerned man lives in the area of Hagerstown, Maryland.
If he's going to kill a judge in cold blood like that, I don't think there's anything to stop him from doing that to somebody else.
A $10,000 reward is being offered for information that leads to Argote's arrest. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
S&P futures down 16. A new thrill for Swifties.
More evidence linking a heart
to Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Taylor Swift not only showed up to watch her boyfriend Travis Kelce and his Chiefs beat the Chargers, she and Patrick Mahomes' wife Brittany have a new five-slap handshake. Coach Andy Reid.
Taylor can stay around all she wants.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The jury trial of the Franklin woman facing charges for allegedly poisoning a family friend and stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from her is set to start today. 37-year-old Jesse Kurzewski is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and theft of property in Waukesha County Court. She's accused of using eye drops to poison the Pewaukee victim in 2018 and stealing almost $300,000 from her. The trial is scheduled to last about 5 weeks. Judge Jennifer Doro is presiding. A shutdown grocery store in Brookfield is being transformed into a place for pickleball. Pickleball Kingdom is opening up in the former Pick and Save location in the Ruby Isle Shopping Center on Calhoun. The time frame of the opening isn't yet known. It is known that there will be indoor courts, a snack bar, and a pro shop. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Sandy's not streaming. We're good, bro.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Sandy, my co-host. How you doing, man?
How are you doing?
I suspect you had an excruciating hour with Gilbert talking over the Sunday's fiasco.
Yeah, well, people are growing accustomed to.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, it is a bad sign. And I was saying to Gilbert, Sandy, you're one third of the way through the season, and you're 2-4, and there's nothing to say that it's going to get any better. As a matter of fact, most things point to the fact that it may get a little worse.
Yeah, we're not exactly. We've just gotten through the easy part of the schedule.
So for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, again, WRCE, Richland Center, WLAK, Amory, WBZH, Hayward, WLCX, La Crosse, 93.5, The Tap, Eau Claire, and WCFW, Chippewa Falls, 105.7, CFW. Sandy Williams and I are on twice a week, and so you'll soon come to find that it is must hear radio. And Sandy and I are going to be talking about who we are as you grow accustomed to us. Our phone lines are always open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Sandy, a lot to talk about, but I want to begin this morning's show with talking about that Americans are losing faith in the institutions, and it's been going on for some time, Sandy, but clearly at this point and at this juncture, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker in that position, because that person really, Sandy, is kind of like second in line if something happens to the president, right?
Well, yeah.
And then it's the vice president.
Vice president, and then speaker.
So we people may not know that, but that's always been a high-profile position. Why can't we get that fixed?
Well, you know, that's a question with lots of answers and a bunch of complexities. I mean, the problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties because the speaker is the result of a partisan election by the majority party in the House of Representatives. And in the past, the majority party has been able to heal all of its wounds within the caucus after they choose by majority vote within the caucus who will be their nominee for speaker. And when they come out of the caucus room to vote, they vote unanimously, and they elect a speaker. At least that's been the norm in the past. That hasn't been the norm for the last while, because not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
You know, Sandy, once Jim Jordan was dismissed, there are 10 new people whose names put their names in the hat. And 7 of those people are considered MAGA Republicans. So it doesn't appear as if any MAGA Republican is going to get through. It really doesn't bode well, Sandy, that they can get this done.
Well, get it done. I mean, I suspect ultimately necessity is the mother of invention. They'll come up with something. I mean, Congress, the House of Representatives can't go for months and months without the capacity to do anything without suffering a great deal of damage. And even though there are those in the Republican Party who seem to be hell-bent on tearing things up, I just can't believe that they'll let it persist that long. I mean, they for a while they had this process ongoing of giving temporary Speaker McHenry full powers for an interim period of time, and I got to believe they'll go back to that if nothing else.
You know, Sandy, 5 in 10 adults have hardly any confidence in the executive branch of the federal government, compared to 4.5 in 10 in March. 56% now have low levels of confidence in the executive branch, which is overseen by a member of the opposing party. Democrat Joe Biden compared with 20% of the Democrats. About a third of adults, 36%, say they have hardly any confidence in the conservative majority Supreme Court. You know, Sandy, these are critical positions. The president, the Supreme Court, the Congress, when people don't have faith in them, it means they don't have faith in government altogether.
The problem is that history tells us that when a populace loses faith in the normal institutions of government, there has been a tendency in the past to revert to authoritarianism. Let's find somebody to solve all this problem. Let's put somebody in charge, and people start bailing out on the democratic processes. So this has been a long, slow process. You know, the attack on government that started in the 1980s through Norquist, strangling government of money, began to strangle government as well of competence. And so, you know, we end up with FEMA failing in the face of several disasters. We have failures of government with the FDA in various situations. I mean, the problem is that the competence of government has been tested, and it's sort of chicken and egg. The attack on government now can be derived to some extent by people attacking the fact that it's not competent. Don't feed the beast. But the fact that it's lost its capacities is in many respects due to the fact that it's been starved of money and starved of payroll and starved of the ability to do things right. The FAA with Boeing, I mean, the list is long of apparent failures of government. And the problem is that, and then we have the Supreme Court, we have ethical, apparently, fissures in the ethics of cases, as well as the activism of the Supreme Court. We have a conservative court that talks about the evil of judicial activism, and yet we're really seeing conservative court activism in place now. So, yeah, I mean, the Supreme Court's a vital institution of government. The FBI, you didn't mention the FBI, but I'm confident if you went out and took a poll of the public's confidence in the federal police agencies, you'd find out that there was a lack of confidence in them as well.
Well, you know, Sandy, 1/3 of U.S. adults continue to have low levels of confidence in the Justice Department.
Yeah.
So how do you the, all of those entities that we just talked about, Sandy, are the heart and soul of what government is, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the problem is that we live, the thing that differentiates the United States for quite a while from a lot of the rest of the world, and certainly from the developing world, and certainly from much of the corruption of the Eastern European world, is the fact that we operate under the rule of law. Well, the rule of law gets implemented by the courts. It gets implemented by the Justice Department federally and justice departments around the country. District attorneys are under assault around the country. So, you know, we're attacking the very pillars of the implementation of the rule of law, which puts in jeopardy the rule of law.
You know, Sandy, and maybe when they did the survey, and this is the Associated Press, maybe what they should have asked was whether or not you believe in local government and not, you know, national government. But, you know, if you don't believe in national government, believing in local government, I don't know, Sandy, if that can work, right? I mean,
local government, you know, the national political machinery has decided that a place to really stir the pot is in local government. So we have a great deal of discomfort ongoing with local school boards. We've got a great deal of discomfort ongoing with an attack on district attorneys around the country in terms of how they're exercising their discretion for prosecution. So, yeah, it's happening locally too.
And you know, Sandy, it's at a time when there's unrest all over the world, and we are headed into a, without question, a destabilizing time with the military possibility of us being engaged in some wars across the nation. If we don't have faith in government, Sandy, how is it possible that we can, you know, move forward with what looks like our involvement? There's no question we can talk about our involvement in supporting Israel, or our involvement in supporting Ukraine, or our involvement in Taiwan and all kind of other places and things. But if our government is not stable, that really puts us in a tough situation.
Well, yeah, I think everyone ultimately recognizes that U.S. security starts at home. You know, the notion that we're going to keep America safe by fighting wars in Eastern Europe or in the Mid East to keep America safe is defied by the notion that we first have to make sure that everything's working inside our shores, you know, that we've got a system that's respected. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear, and people do understand, that the movement towards a widespread possession of AR-15s is driven by a suspicion of the government. Many people who hold AR-15s will privately discuss the fact that they have them because they want to defend themselves against the wrongful assault upon them by their government.
You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I'm with my co-host Sandy Williams, and certainly you can join us at that phone number. But Sandy, it is a downward spiral that if we don't, you know, come to grips with it, and soon, we may live to regret. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host is Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with a chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 59. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 53. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 74. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Say you want a revolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, that you can count me out. Don't you know it's gonna be alright.
Alright, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. All As always, right. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And you know, Sandy, I picked that tune out this morning, and you're just joining us, my co-host is Sandy Williams, because as I was going through some things this morning, U.S. renews warning it will defend treaty for ally Philippines after Chinese ships ram Manila vessels. So it's some Chinese ships rammed some Philippine vessels. And the United States responded, warning China it will defend the treaties of their ally, the Philippines, against the Chinese. Sandy, we're dealing with Israel. We're dealing with Ukraine. You know, the NATO nations are really going to be looking at the United States to fill vacuums after the Israel and the war in Israel comes to an end. There's going to be a vacuum there, and those nations are going to be looking at the United States. We can't be everywhere, Sandy. We can't be the world's keeper, can we?
Well, I don't think we can, and I think I've been reading more recently. Observers are beginning to say, look, this notion of Pax Americana is going to be strained by activities going on all around the world. Our capacity to essentially be an overlord to preserve the needed peace, to dictate the solution to problems around the world gets exceedingly difficult and exceedingly expensive, and will test not only our political resolve, but our financial resources. So we've got to begin to make some hard decisions about where and how the United States involves itself.
You know, I'm sorry, whatever is happening in the Philippines with China, and, you know, to say that we're going to defend the treaties that we have with the Philippines, Sandy, and I'm sorry, whatever is happening with China, we're not in a position to be everywhere. We can't be, the police. We only make up 4% of the global population, man. We can't be all over the world. We then deal with the issues that we are dealing with in our own homes, right? In the states that, you know, where we are now being heard, and the cities and the towns who need support every day. To say that we're going to shirk those needs and responsibilities because of treaties that we have with other nations around the world, Sandy, we've got to be truthful about this, right? It can't happen.
Well, I mean, it gets very complicated, right? The Philippines used to be a possession, essentially a protectorate of the United States, which, you know, I don't know when it was, maybe in the 1950s, we finally released Philippines to its own recognizance politically. But, we do have a bunch of interconnections, and we probably do need to preserve in some fashion the sanctity of some of the treaties that we've made, particularly with those with respect to protecting trade on the high seas. I'm not familiar with the details of this most recent Chinese and Philippine collision. I suspect it happened in an area of the China Sea that China might claim to be its own territorial waters.
Well,
but
go ahead, Sandy.
But, well, I'm just saying that, there are things we need to do in pursuit of and in furtherance of particularly treaties that we've made. Treaties are pretty sacred. It's more the conduct we carry out outside of treaties and outside of the obligations that our Congress has decided to implement. Treaties are enactments that have the backing of Congress. I think it's that area. It's that much more discretionary area of foreign affairs that we need to be concerned about.
So the United States renewed a warning today that it would defend the Philippines in case of an armed attack under 1951 treaty after Chinese ships blocked and collided with two Filipino vessels off a contested shoal in the South China Sea, which is what you said, Sandy.
Yeah.
Philippine diplomat summoned a Chinese embassy official in Manila on Monday for a strongly worded protest following Sunday's collision of second time or so. No injuries were reported, but the encounters damaged a Philippine Coast Guard ship and a wooden hulled supply boat operated by Navy personnel, officials said. But Sandy, that it was our response. And again, U.S. warning it will defend treaty ally Philippines after Chinese ships ram Manila vessels. Warning China that it would defend the allied Philippines. It's what I'm talking about, Sandy, that puts us in a tough situation. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. What do you say? We'll be right back.
Home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A third convoy of trucks filled with food and water has entered Gaza from Egypt as Israel pounds the territory with a new round of airstrikes. CBS's Ian Lee says fuel was not included in the new deliveries.
They want to prevent any of these supplies getting to Hamas. They even said they would strike supplies that are going to Hamas. Fuel is going to be used for them to get around the strip and other sorts of military means.
Regarding safety in the U.S., FBI Director Christopher Wray tells CBS's 60 Minutes.
We have seen an increase in reported threats, but vigilance is heightened right now just because of the fluid and volatile environment in the Middle East.
20 days and still no House Speaker. CBS's Scott McFarland.
There are 9 candidates now vying for the job. All the men, all members of the Conservative Republican Study Committee, and ranging in experience for a job that is second in line to the presidency.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Arrowhead football team played their first game since the passing of legendary former coach Tom Taraska, who died in a car crash. Taraska, a Wisconsin Football Coaches Hall of Famer, led the team for 29 seasons, winning 4 state titles. The game Friday was marked by a moment of silence and tributes to honor Taraska's legacy, with players wearing special stickers on their helmets and the coaching staff wearing special hats. Arrowhead won the playoff game against Maguanago 31-28. The proposed plan to allocate $500 million in taxpayer funds for the Brewers ballpark is expected to be finalized by the end of the week. The Wisconsin Senate has scheduled a vote on the funding package for Wednesday, and Governor Evers and Milwaukee's leaders have expressed their support for the plan. As part of the agreement, the Brewers have committed to remaining in Milwaukee until 2050. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures. The lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid.
Better.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Mondays, so on Mondays, my co-host Sandy Williams joins me, and we are excited about our foray into Richland Center, WRCE, Amory, WLAK, Hayward, WBZH, La Crosse, WLCX, Eau Claire, 93.5, The Tap, and Chippewa Falls, WCFW, 105.7 CFW. So, Sandy, if all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. You know, Sandy, we're talking about the companies that still provide health care. What about the people, Sandy, who can't afford it? If it continues as it will, if inflation continues, Sandy, What are people to do?
Well, you know, over the last 35 years, healthcare has increased in cost at a rate that exceeds inflation in almost every year. It's part of the example to us of how it is that our healthcare system is broken, ill designed. The architecture of the system doesn't work. You know, there's not a cost discipline imposed into it. And it has to do with the third party insurance program. We just have a uniquely designed healthcare system, which, while it provides highly sophisticated healthcare to those who can access it, it fails to provide adequate access to it, and it does it at a very great cost. So, you know, our healthcare system needs attention, and unfortunately, all of the political distractions that we have ongoing all the time is what keeps us from actually taking care of the problems that we need to take care of.
You know, Sandy, it says 153 Americans have health care paid for by their employer. And you know, that is shrinking. That means over half of the American people, Sandy, have to fend for themselves for the most part when it comes to health care.
Well, and even those who have health care provided by their employers are being asked to pay for half of the cost, you know, and half of a big number is still a big number. And the other part of health care that's begun to get away from us is the size of the deductible. You know, in order to make health care insurance number fall within a reasonable range, the size of the deductible has gone way up. So it's very common for families to have $5,000 deductibles. Some of them have 5,000 deductibles per capita in the family. So that isn't very much effective insurance. I mean, $5,000 of health care for a young family is quite a bit, you know. And yet every family faces the potential of a catastrophic health care cost. But the probabilities of a family experiencing a catastrophic healthcare cost is low, and meanwhile they're paying these very high premiums. So it forces more and more families to think about having either very high deductibles, so their insurance premium number is achievable in their budget, or just going bare, you know, not having insurance.
You know, Sandy, I'm fortunate enough to have Medicare. But I know prior to me getting to the age where I would have Medicare, I remember I worked in industry from 18 to 54 years of age and had great coverage. You know, the company at that point in time, the early 70s and all the way through, you know, the year 2000s or more, or maybe 2010. Always had great health coverage. But when you look at it today, after my company went out of business and I was like 54 years old, I had to purchase health care. And it was an unbelievable thing for me at that time because, you know, I wound up purchasing the Affordable Care Act under Barack Obama. And I had a gold package I never will forget. And I had $5,000 deductible for myself, $5,000 deductible for my wife, and I was paying $1,100 a month for health care. Now, that was a long time ago, Sandy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how anybody, for the most part, struggling, can afford that. Middle class, I don't know how anybody can afford that.
Well, when I, you know, when I did that analysis of the median family in Wisconsin, it turned out that a family in Wisconsin could expect to spend with 1.5 children could expect to spend at least $18,000 on health care before they would collect a penny
benefits,
of insurance. Right. So you've got a $18,000 cost to load into a budget for a family, a median family that's earning $64,000 a year, $65,000 a year. You know, they've got rent of $14,000. They've got child daycare costs of $15,000 or $18,000 if they have children
yes.
requiring daycare, which the average family would. And so, you know, part of the fact that, yeah, we have mortgage.
Transportation costs. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no saving for retirement. There's no saving for education. There's no room for any of it. All sorts of polls have demonstrated that in America, families earning $100,000 or less are basically living paycheck to paycheck. And so, in fact, there was an article in The Atlantic that was an interesting one talking about how it is that in the economy we've got, the indices of our economy would show it to be the strongest economy essentially ever. Very low unemployment, salaries that are increasing faster than inflation. So we've got an improving situation, and yet there are so many annoyances, economic annoyances and inconveniences and difficulties, that when you go out and ask people in the economy how they're doing, in spite of the fact that the economy is very strong, people will say, well, I'm doing all right, but the economy is headed in the wrong direction.
You know, Sandy, people are prideful. And people who have been strongly middle class, who are now feeling the throes of what has happened, are very proud and don't want people to know that they are suffering. And yet, we've got a system that's broken. And at the root of their suffering is a broken system that is going to have to be addressed by people who run our government. You know, we talked at the beginning of the show about the fact that people have lost faith in government. Sandy, I think these are part of the reasons why.
Well, yes, I think it's twofold. I think one of the reasons people are concerned about the economy, in spite of the fact that the economy, if you measure it from a general standpoint, is very strong, some of that outlook is the cynicism they feel about the country and the institutions of the country. And so it puts people into a negative frame of mind. The institutions are failing. Things around them seem to be crumbling. And as a result, it's hard to feel secure economically. Okay. And so it's for the last couple of months, the level of pessimism that's been introduced by when they go out and poll consumers and find out how they feel about, are they optimistic about the economy? There's a fair amount of pessimism in spite of the fact that the numbers keep getting better.
You know, Sandy, it's kind of hard. I went to the grocery store last night and, you know, the young man we're raising, he loves graham crackers. And so you remember those things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I looked at the box of Nabisco graham crackers. And the graham cracker looks like a saltine cracker in size. I mean, the box has shrunk and the prices have gone up. And so people see those things. And I don't care, you know, what the product is that you're buying, you see the exact same thing. Less of it, prices even higher. And so people can't get beyond that. And yes, inflation is kind of part of it, Sandy, but, you know, the businesses themselves see that it's an opportunity, and with what happened, you know, with, as you always talked about, the product line, I forgot what it's called, where the products come in. What's that term, Sandy, that you...
The supply chain?
Yeah, the supply chain. And the fact that COVID and all of those things, and people are falling further and further and further behind, and they become more and more disenchanted. How do we get beyond it, Sandy? What's the turning point? What's the breaking point?
I think the problem is economically that people get used to something that they experience for a period of 5 or 10 years. And so the American public got very used to historically
low interest rates.
So right. the 1% and 2% interest rates made it very easy in America to experience some consumer debt, number one. Number two, during the pandemic, when expenditures got very low and when there was a great deal of support being provided to the economy, the cash reserves in American households reached an all-time high. So people had cash. Their credit card payments were low because of the very low interest rates. If they wanted to move, they could easily move because the mortgage rates were very low. Things have changed. Interest rates are now only slightly above the long-term historic norm, but they're very high as compared to what people have experienced over the last 15 years. And furthermore, you know, the cash situation has changed as people have returned to the consumption economy. So things aren't bad in the grand scheme of history, but they feel much worse as compared to the last 10 years.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, it is certainly going to impact and affect the election. I think there's no question. You just pointed out something that, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, just looking at interest rates at almost zero, and the fact that money certainly went further, and we felt financially more secure. You kept saying it's not going to last forever. You kept saying it's going to, you know, it's unrealistic. It can't be sustained. The housing industry had ballooned, and people were able to get bigger houses and for less money. And now, you know, people go to purchase a home and the interest rates almost cost prohibitive. And so the housing industry is stalled. And so if the housing industry stalls, Sandy, then other things will follow. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, except that what's happened really is that we've had such a long period of a bull market, okay? And we've had such a long period without recession that everybody develops an outlook that the longer you go without a recession, the more inevitable a recession is around the corner. And so it's that psychology that can actually lead to a recession. But if you looked at the discussion in the news media over the last 2.5 years, the last 2.5 years have been predominantly discussions of when is the recession going to happen. And over this last 2.5 years, the recession has not yet happened, okay? So I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not necessarily of a belief that we necessarily are going to fall into a recession for office as a result of this.
All right. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Highs level off around 59, south winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows dip down to about 53. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms, highs level off around 74. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First, we the people means government, and we must never forget that. What I don't understand is why it is that people don't actually go after the corporations that are becoming monopolies that are raising these prices so high. There isn't the inflation that there is in other countries. And it just seems to me that, you know, a lot of these grocery chains have all kind of come together and they're just a big monopoly now, and they can charge whatever they want because of the fact that there is no competition, and we need competition in the workplace.
Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, there's no question that the antitrust laws have gone to sleep in America. It's been a 40 or 50 year snooze, but you know, the U.S. Justice Department used to be very active in intervening into mergers and trying to stifle the tendency towards oligopoly in the marketplace, meaning a small number of competitors, so small that they were able to essentially coordinate pricing rather than compete. And the grocery chains, there still are numbers of them, but there's no question that they are riding a psychological crest in which they're capable of raising prices faster than they lower them. And there's, to some extent, the same occurs at the gas pump, although the gas pump behaves more like a commodity. Yeah, I mean, America needs to reawaken those things that are the regulation of the marketplace. You know, people can believe in market, the wonder of the market economy, but we have to make sure that the markets that the market economy works in are fair and competitive. And I think that's where we've failed. I think the American version of capitalism is failing in a variety of ways. And one of them is that we're failing to police bigness. The European Union is actually much more aggressive about this than the United States.
You know, Sandy, as we approach the holiday seasons, you know, people are going to take on added debt because it makes them feel good. And so they're going to get to a point where, you know, we're using credit cards more than ever. And we're using them at a time when the interest rate, Sandy, of them should be prohibitive for us using them as much as we are. But, you know, because apparently it feels like we can still maintain our standard of living because we don't have to pay that right now. But at the end of it is going to be misery.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, today where the show has broadened to a bunch of markets and in a variety of cities of various sizes. And I think one thing that's clear about the American economy, and that is that wherever you reside in the economy, you might be having different experiences. I think everyone's sharing the experience of the grocery store, but in different economies, there's a different impact on, for instance, the cost of housing.
Right.
In different cities, there's a different impact experienced with respect to jobs and the availability of jobs. If you live in a smaller urban area, then the alternative opportunities available to you when you lose your job are probably diminished. And so you're faced with the dilemma of leaving where you and your family have spent all your years to move to a place of opportunity or not. And that can lead to another level of frustration. Even in an economy in which there are plenty of jobs available, they might not be available in your city, in your town. And so you're experiencing the economy differently than everyone else. And I think that's part of what's going on right now in the American experience in the economy is that, the top 20% in the economy are feeling the wind and the sails of the economy. They're feeling its full strength. The bottom 80% are experiencing something else.
Tom, go ahead quickly.
Yeah, Earl, I think something that we all need to realize is that the urban community and the rural community really have a lot in common. I came from a rural community. I live in more of an urban community now. And the thing is, what ends up happening is, like Scott Walker talked about the divide and conquer of people. And that's really what he did. But the thing is, in the rural communities, you have grandma, you have people that live very, very close proximity to each other that are watching the kids or taking care of the kids and all that. Whereas in the urban areas, you know, you have to have child.
So Tom, I wish we had more time, but man, we got to let you go. We're up against the clock. Sandy, as always, man, thank you. We'll certainly be changing dates and times with you, and we'll let people know in the coming days, the time slot that we're going to change you to. But as always, great to have you on. Thank everybody across the state for allowing us to come into your homes. We won't let you down. This is the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789. Got some great shows lined up for you this week, so tell somebody about us. See you later.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.